Ferris. Good job this morning. Psalm number
Welcome,
22,
and thanks for
please.
Listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
22. Thank you, moms, for holding things down the last few days, letting the men that were able to go on the fishing trip. We had a good time. It's a lower number this year than probably it's been in many, many years. But the Lord did not diminish the fishing. I've heard some different numbers kicked around, but I think maybe we were in the neighborhood from Monday. Some guys went down early this past week to Lake Eufaula. Somewhere in the neighborhood between 400 and 500 fish that were caught. I don't know how many we cleaned. We got to the point that we were catching so many that if they were smaller, we just threw them back. And we would catch and clean the ones that were going to be good for eating and that we could get more than just a fish nugget out of. But the Lord gave us great fishing and great weather as well. And I was a little bit concerned about the weather. I was concerned about the fishing as well, but I was really concerned about the weather, especially, what was that? Was that Thursday that we had weather come through? I guess that was Thursday that we had weather come through this way, and I was just concerned about the path that it was making in that direction. And so thank the Lord for His goodness and the safety, and thank you men for being involved the last few days in that. Psalm number 22 this morning, we're going to read the first 11 verses of Psalm chapter 22. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted in him. But Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. I want you to notice there, verse number 10, the Bible says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. I want to bring a message this morning entitled, A Mother's Cast. A Mother's Cast. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege that we have to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, that many of us today can be with our mothers sitting in church together. That's how it ought to be. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, even as a church, that, Lord, we would be busy about the commission that you've given us to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And Lord, when there's a home like that, then it is a home where dad and mom can come and, Lord, show the example to those children and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So help us to realize that as good as we have it today, those that have had or have still our mothers with us, and Lord, maybe not even in the same church service, but maybe somewhere else going to church today. It's a habit of life. I pray, Lord, that we'll be burdened about other families in society as well. Lord, we would attempt to give them the gospel and help them to realize the importance of dad and mom and the children being together in the house of the Lord, being together in, Lord, seeking after the faith and the knowledge of God. Help us with that. Strengthen us, encourage us this morning. I pray, Lord, again, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that they'll realize it and that they'll be willing to turn from their sin and their way, to turn to your gift that you provided on Calvary before it's too late. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. David was an individual who experienced more trouble than what is probably average. Then again, David was an above average individual. It is not to say that he was of more value to God than anyone else, but because of God's calling on his life, trouble simply ramped up as a result. As is clear from the Psalms, he learned how to express his troubles in the healthiest of manner by pouring out the burden of his soul to the one who could truly help. Before David ever received the anointing from Samuel, God called him a man after God's own heart. That's repeated twice in the Scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 14. And then again in Acts chapter 13, verse number 22. Early in his life, we see that David was inclined to know and to mimic God's heart and God's ways. It was all part of his preparation to take on the troublesome role of King of Israel. And by the way, it's so easy for us to cast stones or to be able to give some sort of, honest or critical criticism, you know, to be able to criticize leaders around us. And the higher up leaders go, the easier it is for us to criticize leadership. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the higher the role of leadership, the more responsibility there is, the more trouble there is as well. And so we might be a little more careful about our criticism. It's so easy from an outside perspective to say, well, they ought to do this and they ought to do it like this and all of that, until we get a little more responsibility and then we decide, well, maybe it's not quite as easy as I thought. It also leads me to say this: we ought to be careful about desiring a position just for the cause of having a position. There's much more to it than just a title. In the midst of some of that trouble, though, that we find in David's life, we find him remembering what God has done for him in days gone by. Going all the way back to his beginning, to David's beginning, he focuses on thou, God. In verses 9 and 10, and includes one I statement. That's the one we read just a little while ago. I was cast upon thee, God, from the womb. The word cast in the English language has multiple meanings and therefore usages, transitive and intransitive, multiple meanings, and you could probably think of many of them this morning. I was telling my daughters what I was going to be preaching about. They asked, and I just kind of gave them the title, A Mother's Cast, and they sort of looked at me like, now what in the world is that all about? And they were thinking about some of the different casts. For instance, if you break a limb or something like that, you might have to wear a cast. And so they were sort of thinking about some of these things, and we started talking about what the sermon was actually about. The first meaning in Merriam-Webster's dictionary of this word cast has to do with causing to move or send forth by throwing. Now, there was some casting that was being done the last few days, even in the midst of the men of Open Door Baptist Church. You know, we were taking that rod and that reel and casting it out there. I laughed. I think it was Brother Matt. Yesterday, we were on the boat talking, and he said, I remember my dad showing me what to do. And the first time that he took me out fishing, and he said, all right, son, here's what you do. And you just sort of throw it out there, cast it out there. And so Brother Matt said, I did exactly what he told me to do. I cast it and let go. And there goes the rod and the reel and everything. And so maybe not quite like that. But we were doing some casting out. And the greater you go and the more experienced, boy, I'm just in wonder watching really good fishermen, which I am not. And the way they just sort of give that flick of the wrist, you know, and how far they can cast that lure out into the water. Thus is the meaning and usage of the word in our text, to throw out. And although David does not expressly say who did the throwing or casting, context indicates to us that it was the figure closest to him at the time. Now notice again verses 9 and 10, and think about this with me, verse number 9. But thou God, he's referring to God, art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And so he mentions his mother, and mentions not only being born, but feeding on his mother in these verses. And right in the middle of these two verses, he says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. The location to which he was thrown could not have possibly been better. And as a result of that, he remembered and took courage. And we've already read the context of this passage. David had many times in his life where people were against him, where they scorned him, where they mocked him, and people came up against him. And we have times in our life right like that as well. We can certainly come to an understanding in part of what he was going through. And can you remember times like I can, when everybody seemed to be against you or coming down on you or maybe making fun of you, but mom was for you or dad was for you? It seems like here in this passage, he goes back in his mind in those tough times, in those difficult times where it seems like the world is standing against him, and he goes back to mama and doesn't just think about his mother, but thinks about what she did that was so helpful for him in casting him upon the Lord. We see three results of this casting, a mother's casting. Number one, we see the result of life. Life. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. And a mother has prime position, obviously, in that regard. We realized this morning it takes two to tango, but God has made it such that a mother is the one to carry that little life within her to guard and to protect and to nourish that little life within her until such time that that life is ready to come forth. And so a result of what God had done in the life of David because of his mother as he had allowed him to have life. We live in a society today where, and I know we could go immediately to this abortion matter and talk about all the murder that's going on in our society and literally around the world, that mothers are allowing of their child, that life, to be cut out of their womb, to be vanquished from their womb. But think about this. The birth rate is also down. And so what many would-be mothers have basically decided in their heart and their mind is it's too much of an inconvenience. It's too much work. It's too much of a risk to be able to have life come forth from me. And yet David's mother, who by the way is not even mentioned by name, we cannot even find her mother over and over again. Jesse is mentioned, his father is mentioned, but his mother is not mentioned by name. And yet his mother was the one that allowed the life to come forth. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, tells us what God did to ultimately allow this life to come forth. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the reason why that even a mother is not allowed, is not permitted by God, by His Word, to be able to take that precious life and to be able to dispose of that life. God is the one that breathes life into every human being that's ever been conceived. And yet, a mom's got that soul and special role to be able to allow that life to come forth. Mama allowed it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. Speaks about this very matter. Jeremiah says about him, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Yes, there is a little bitty child this morning existing there in the Downing family. That little life is coming forth. God knows that little life. God is for that little life. God is the one that allows that miracle of life to come forth. I want to thank God this morning for every single mother who went through all the trials and the tribulations and the hardships that pregnancy brings about. I've watched it in my own wife's life. There are things that became different physiologically than they were previous to pregnancy. And that's not just what we might think as far as, you know, maybe the body taking a little bit different shape and some of those sorts of things, but even levels of comfort and even illnesses that have come about as a result of pregnancy. I mean, many of our women have experienced those sorts of things, and you've allowed that life to come forth. My wife had a friend in her younger years who found out that she was with child. And somewhere shortly after she found out, she also found out that she had been stricken with cancer. And she had a decision to make along the way. The doctor said if we treat the cancer, then the medicines will surely kill the child. But if we don't treat this cancer, then chances are very good that you will not survive. That lady made a decision to go ahead and deliver that child. And I think it was probably less than 6 months after she delivered the child, she passed away. Thank God for every mama willing to allow that life to come forth. I'm talking about a mother's cast this morning. It all starts with that life. But not only life, but purpose. Look at, again, Psalm chapter 22, the second part of verse number 9. He says in the first part, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb." Yes, God allowed this to occur, and God makes this occur miraculously, but mom's got a decision and a choice in the matter. Then he says this, "Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts." Now, this is so very interesting to me because I started thinking about what age this young child David must have been when he's talking about the fact that he was made to hope. What age would that have been? Well, he's obviously still nursing based on what he said. So I would imagine that David is saying between the ages of about 1 to maybe about 4 years old, he was made to hope in that very span of time. Now, we don't give a lot of credit and really maybe even think about this a whole lot, but consider this, that a child in the very first 4 years of life, and I would say even while the child is still in the womb, that child, if handled properly, if ministered to properly, if witnessed to properly, that child is being made to hope even in the very first years of life. That child would realize, I have a real purpose in this world. And how many folks have ultimately given up hope in life and said, why am I even living? Because they really didn't realize I've got a purpose. That message ought to start in the very first years of life. Hold your finger there in Psalm 22 and go to Psalm 62 for just a moment. Psalm number 62, a purpose. That Bible word hope, we've talked about it. It's a word that oftentimes means a sure expectation. A sure expectation. And mark this down this morning, folks. Every life, I don't care necessarily what the circumstances are, how that life began to come about, what the issues might be with that life early on, it doesn't matter. Every single life has a real and a specific God-given purpose. And it is incumbent upon us as parents. It's incumbent upon a mother. Think about this, mothers. You're going to be the one that's spending time with that child between the ages of 0 and 4. I mean, a broad majority of that time. With few exceptions. Are you allowing, are you causing that child in those moments, those early years of life, to place their hope in God? Psalm 62, verse number 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Drop down to verse number 5. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And children need to know very early on, thank God for mama. Thank God for daddy. Thank God for my school teacher. Thank God for my friends. But I find my purpose in life in God. God, what do you have for my life? And a mom has great power in causing that child to realize God created them with purpose. So there's a result that comes from that casting. It's life, it's purpose. And number 3, and most importantly, relationship. Relationship. Psalm 22:10, the last part says, Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Verse number 1, my God, my God. Verse number 2, oh my God. This is the identity that David had. This was a relationship. He was related to God. He was not just his creator. He was his God. And every other identity arises from our initial identity. If you tell a person you just came from nowhere, they might end up nowhere also. If you tell a person you simply came from some sort of animal some millions of years before, they might end up living and acting like an animal. But if we let them know that God is the one that gave you life and God's got a purpose for you, and not only that, God wants to know you and relate to you individually. You can speak to Him and He will speak to you. He will call you son or daughter. Every other identity arises from our initial identity. The psalmist beginning takes him back to the beginning. He's in this troublesome and hard time, and he thinks about the very beginning, even from his birth, and he's saying, nobody's for me and nobody can help me right now, but I remember my mama helping me to be able to hope God and ultimately to know who God is. Takes him all the way back to the beginning. Now, I want to close with an illustration, biblical illustration this morning. Go to the book of Exodus chapter 2, please. A mother's cast. And this account, to me, is the most famous and the most picturesque account of what we're talking about this morning. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1. There went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Can you imagine this morning, Mama? Taking your child, by the way, she had some other children at this time. Miriam and Aaron were both older than little Moses. But can you imagine taking your baby boy and ultimately putting him in the water and not really knowing what's going to happen? I mean, you would think in her mind, well, what are you thinking? I mean, there ought to be some other option, some other way for this baby to survive. We know that Pharaoh said, kill all the babies that are 2 years old and under. What was she thinking about, Miss Jochebed, when she put him in the water? Well, I believe she was thinking about this aspect of what we're talking about this morning, a mother's calf. And what she was thinking was this, my son would do better in the hands of God than he would do in my hands. I've protected him as long as I can. I've done everything that I can for him. And so I'm literally, by faith, going to put him in the hands of God. The one that made this river. And God will have to be the one to take care of him. You know, children can be, oftentimes, quite the burden. Lots of time, lots of energy, lots of money, lots of stress. But I'm reminded of a couple of things. For instance, Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm reminded in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, talking about the fact that God cares for us and the fact that we ought to humble ourselves before him. And it just simply says this in verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I don't know what situation you're going through this morning, Mama. I don't know how hard it is in the private times to be able to raise those children. But I'll simply say this. If you'll do like David's mama did, and if you'll do like Moses' mama did, and if you'll do like so many others down through the history of time have done in saying, God, this a task that you've given me is too great to bear. But I'm going to cast this child upon you. And I need you to fulfill your purposes in this child's life. Then your cast, you know, another definition for the word cast is the amount of influence. Your cast will be great in that child's life. To say to that child at an early age, child, I'm your mother and God's given me temporary custody of you, but ultimately you belong to him. He's the one that gave you life. He's the one that's got a purpose for you. He's the one that wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to call you child and you can call him father. God's got great things for you. You need to come to know Him. And when a mother does that, a mother's cast can go far and wide, much further, much wider than anybody could ever imagine. So, Mama, what are you doing this morning? You that still have little ones, maybe grandmothers, you have some influence in your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren's life. If there's any way that you can cast those children, why don't you cast them on the Lord? Why don't you cause them to know that God is their hope? God has great things for them. Why don't you not try to chart your own course for your child? Child, I want you to be this. I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to go there. Why don't you let your child know, I want to seek after the Lord, and I want the Lord to direct your step. But a mother's cast, if she'll do that, it can be wonderful and it can be great. And you know, when you cast a stone or cast something into the water, the ripple effects of that cast, boy, those ripple effects can go far and wide when we cast those children back on the Lord. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. A mother's cast.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.